One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio, brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub on Western Avenue, Fox's Pizza, and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. So great to be with you all. We're every night, every Saturday night, WSBC from 7 to 8, 1240 on your AM dial. And then you can usually catch up the podcast at hibernianradio.org. Usually up by Sunday night. So we're all in the midst of the COVID. It sucks. We know that. Let's try and forget about it and talk. We have a great guest tonight, Chicago Police Department Detective Kathleen Keene Chigaris.
You got it.
All right. And Kathleen is a veteran. What are you, 25 years on the?
Going to my 26th.
Good for you. Unbelievable. So you got a story to tell. You went on the four. Well, first of all, you grew up on the West Side. You were born there.
I was born on the West Side. I lived there till I was like five.
Yeah.
And then moved out to Hickory Hills.
All right.
Grew up in Hickory Hills till my father got caught living out of the city.
He was a fireman, right?
He was a fireman.
Yeah.
So moved back into the city and transferred to Bogan junior year from Stagg.
Our Lady of Bogan.
Our Lady of Bogan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then you were back in the city. And then you became a cop?
Well, first I was in pharmacy school.
Oh, yeah.
I was dating a policeman. I married a policeman.
Yeah.
And was going to school in my early years of marriage and working downtown.
That was Gary Chigaris.
Yeah, Gary Chigaris. I was married. I was working down. I was an assistant longbound trader down at First Chicago Corp, which is no longer.
Okay.
Going to school.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, I had my son. Stopped working, went to school full time. Gary.
Gary. Oh, I guess
Gary Jr. Gary Chigaris. Gary Martin, though, after my father. Gary Martin. So he's got a little bit of the Irish in there.
Yeah.
The Martin.
Look at you. Look how Irish you are.
Well, he looks pretty Irish, too, my son.
Oh, by the way.
My kids are blonde hair, blue eyed.
Your grandparents are both from County Mayo.
Yes.
Your grandmother was born and raised in Turmacady, and your grandfather was born and raised in Finney. Both are.
Both on Lake Mask.
Lake Mask.
Okay. Or they, as they call it, Lou Mask.
Somebody
out there.
Somebody cracked up over that Lake Mask. And then cousins in Castle Bar and Westport. Oh, we spend a lot of time at Westport. Well, anyway, you look at you. You're a beautiful Irish Colleen. And so,
Kathleen.
Kathleen, yeah. You became a cop. Why did you become a cop?
Oh, my gosh. Just the way it happened was so...
Serendipity?
My younger sister, who is... 8 years younger than I am,
yeah,
wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah.
So she wanted to take the police test, and I actually drove her down to City
that's
Hall.
That's the way it always happens, yeah.
I drove her down to City Hall to sign up for the police test, and she was a kid, didn't know her way around, so yeah. I parked and drove her and walked with her, walked her into City Hall. I mean, yeah. I was the big sister. I was taking care of her. And she said, why don't you sign up for the test? And I said, Gary will kill me.
Yeah.
Gary will kill me.
Oh, because he's a cop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know Gary will kill me. Yeah. And she said, just sign up for it. He doesn't have to know. So I did. I signed up for it. But previous to that, I had signed up for the state police test at one point, and I got the letter to respond,
yeah.
And I found it ripped up in the garbage. So that's
how
I knew he wasn't going to like it.
Yeah.
So I signed up for the test, but then I wasn't going to take it.
Yeah.
And the day before the test, my nephew on my husband's side said... Me and my friend Tony have to go take the test. Will you take us?
Oh.
And I'm like...
You're going to be down there anyway, yeah.
Well, they were taking it at Curie, and I was like, okay, but how long, you know, how are you? We didn't have cell phones and all
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly.
What time do I pick you up? And they said, well, we don't know. So when I went to take them, I ended up going I had to wait anyway.
Yeah.
So I took the test.
Yeah.
They called me. I was the first one they called.
No kidding.
But I didn't take it.
Yeah.
I turned it down. Yeah. I was had a new baby. I couldn't do the sit-ups anyway, but I had a break because Courtney was brand new.
Yeah.
My daughter.
Yeah.
So I waited. I passed it over, and then when they called and offered it to me for the last time, what had happened? There was a lawsuit going on, and it was. So many people didn't pass the psychological or something.
Oh,
so before,
I think I remember that, yeah.
So to settle the lawsuit, they were putting them all in the academy, so they were trying to call everybody else before that, mm-hmm. I guess, because they called and said, are you interested? If not, we're taking you off the list. And
yeah.
I needed it. And yeah. I figured, I was still in pharmacy school, but yeah. I ended up, you're not supposed to do anything the first year when you're on probation. You're not supposed to work another job. You're not supposed to go to school. But I continued to do research with the microbiology department at Midwestern,
yeah.
which at the time was called Chicago College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Oh.
Now it's called Midwestern. So I thought, I'm just going to do the academy, get, you know.
Certified or just,
yeah. Do the academy, see how it goes. And, you know, I was continuing. I was doing the research on weekends at the school. And then I thought, then I'll just, the heck with it. I'll just do the academy, get paid, see what's going on. And then when it came time to graduate from the academy, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do the FTO training on the street, see how it goes. Well, here I am, 26 years later.
Yeah, good for you.
26 years later. And you know what? It saved me from, after Gary died, I needed the health insurance. I mean,
he got killed in a car accident, right?
Motorcycle.
And you had two little kids.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, little.
Yeah. So you've been a cop for, 26 years now? You did 10 years in a homicide unit on a shooting team?
Well, this was, I started in the 8th District.
Yeah. Where's the 8th District?
63rd in St. Louis.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, the 8th District still... Yeah, I was only there a couple years, but it was still my fondest memories.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I made my best friends, of my best friends, and had the most fun.
Yeah.
I left there and I went to the 22nd District because I moved to the
22nd. That's right here, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I moved to the 22nd District from 80th and Karloff.
Yeah.
Because my sisters were both in the area, and I thought they could help me with the kids after Gary died.
Yeah.
So I moved to this area, and so I transferred to 22, and then I ended up going to the school unit. So I was working Monday through Fridays with weekends off.
Oh, good.
And I was working on the southeast side at Washington High School.
Yeah.
And then they dissolved the school unit.
Did you know Tommy McDonald? I think he was a teacher there. Apropos of nothing.
You know what? I knew a lot of the teachers, though.
Okay.
But, you
Tommy McDonald, he went to high school with me.
No.
Okay, go ahead. So you were like the...
This one of the school,
school
there was two yeah. school officers. They, yeah. Myself and Dennis Rosinski, was retired policeman now.
Okay.
And they dissolved the school unit, but they sent me then to the 4th District, which was encompassing Washington High School, and I stayed in the school.
Oh, yeah.
But I just then reported.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I made detective in May of 04.
Ah.
And when I first made detective, I worked for a very short time in the robbery area.
Yeah.
And then I went over to the homicide.
Yeah.
Unit, and I worked on a specific shooting team. We handled
all the shootings.
All the shootings. If,
oh, wow.
What would happen is we'd go to every shooting, and if the victim died, then we would pass it off to a homicide team.
Yeah.
So we were part of homicide, but we did the initial investigators.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did that probably for about 10 years, and then I worked in the homicide office. So then I helped run the office with the supervisors.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting sick with cancer and was off for a year, had treatment, double mastectomy, the whole nine yards.
God bless you. And then you came back.
Yeah, then I came back. And when I came back, I still worked in the homicide area. And then they put me right in the field, which I wasn't thrilled. I mean, all this time I gave them, and now I come back and they put me in the field where now I didn't want to be in the field. I would have loved to have stayed in the office. When I was in the office, I wanted the field. It just never...
Yeah.
And so they had me in the field, and I thought, you know what? I'm too old. I've been through too much.
Yeah.
I think it's time. So I talked to a real, real, real nice guy. He was the lieutenant in robbery at the time. He's actually now a commander. And a great guy. And I said, what do you think about me coming over to robbery? He said, love to have you, whatever you want, carte blanche.
That's great.
So I went over there, and I've been there ever since. And
yeah.
I'm going to ride my career out there.
And where are you? Where's that located? Where do you go every day?
727 East 111th.
Oh, right over here.
Yeah.
Is that 22?
No, that's Area 2.
Oh.
22 is right here on Monterey.
I gotcha. Okay. Oh, it's way east on 111th, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right in the neighborhood. That's good.
Yeah, it's in Pullman. It's right by Pullman.
Yeah. So you're investigating a lot of robberies and stuff?
I'm doing burglaries in the 5th District.
Okay.
I'm assigned to burglaries in the 5th District, which is, you know, it's a great way to end your career because you don't want to get stuck on a lot of court cases because once you retire, you're still going to be called back to court cases.
Oh.
So
can they do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you investigate a homicide or a robbery, you're still going to get called back for court.
Yeah. And you know Billy Donnelly by any chance? Billy is a homicide. Burglary. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
He
works with me.
Great guy.
Yeah. He is. He's friends with my neighbor Brian Larkin that I was.
Oh, sure. I think he one who recommended Brian for the show.
Yeah.
He's been very helpful to the show.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Real mild mannered, soft spoken, nice guy.
Yeah. His dad was a cop, a homicide detective.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then you went to school. You got a bachelor's at DePaul, then you got a master's degree at the University of Chicago, and you guys, with some of your friends, have started a new company getting ready for retirement. Tell us about the new company.
Okay, it's myself and another detective and two younger policemen, but they have a plethora of experience. One was a military officer, the other one's been in, you know, gang investigations, gang intelligence, a lot of experience. And our degrees are in threat and response management. So the four of us decided, you know, with our years of experience, we're miles ahead of everybody else we're graduating with who doesn't have experience.
Yeah.
And a lot of our professors have, egged us on from the get-go.
Oh, really?
With your experience, you guys could really, snowball this into something. So we just started a business, Bastion Emergency Consulting.
Bastion. Yeah.
You know, that wasn't my choice. We voted on it. That was the three guys. Mine was, my choice was something a little mellower, but.
You want to have a bastion of, of whatever.
You know, I'm the CEO. I could have overridden it, I suppose, but, we're equal partners, the four of us. So we're starting that, and that's going to take off, I'm sure of it, because any medical office, any small facility like that, Medicare, Medicaid, they will not even reimburse unless they have emergency management plans.
No kidding.
So that's...
The state or the federal government won't reimburse.
Right,
them.
They have to have emergency management plans.
Yeah.
Some of them do their own.
Yeah.
You know, they'll try to,
fake it.
Fake it till you make it. I mean, we've had some experience with one client, and it was like, are you really going to go with that? But okay, But I think it's going to be more fine-tuned, and they're going to expect more professional emergency plans, especially with this pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're doing all-hazard approaches.
Cool.
We'll cover all hazards, including pandemics. And I just got hired by U of I in Champaign to do active shooter training.
Oh, no kidding.
And my fellow detective...
That's like there's a guy shooting people, right?
Right.
Active shooter.
What it is...
At the school?
U of I in Champaign, there's a Illinois Fire Service Institute, and it's mostly firemen that they hire to do. They train them how to do extractions out of cars and how to do other, things for their profession. Well, they started this active shooting program that they're going to be teaching companies, whoever wants to take the course.
Yeah.
You know how their company should react to if a shooter comes in or a threat, a threat. And I was taking a class, and they came up and said, we need females and we need police officers, and with your years of experience and your degree, would you come on board? I'm like, sounds good to me. it's not very time-consuming. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to know what we're doing, but there's training involved, and a couple days a month, drive to different areas. We're going to be in Springfield, Crystal Lake, I think in January we'll be in Springfield for 2 days, and February we'll be in Crystal Lake.
When are you planning on retiring?
A year from April is my goal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the only reason I'm sticking around is because they paid my tuition at University of
Chicago.
Oh,
that's good. Yeah, yeah. Now, looking back, what's the craziest thing that's happened to you? And Kathleen, I got to tell you, just from looking at you, I can see a lot of crazy things. You got a beautiful smile. Look at her. I don't mean to embarrass you.
No, you're not embarrassing me. You know what's funny? It's hard to come up with one because there's so many, and I'm sure any police officer you talk to, are so many different situations that they've been in that it's hard to pinpoint one. But
does crazy. Anybody, do you ever, like, you're arresting someone, they go, you're not a cop.
Always. Yeah. When I was in the 8th District, at one point, right before I was leaving, there was one guy, I don't know if I should say his name or not, but his family was like the robbers. It was right by Holy Cross where it used to be all Lithuanian. It was starting to change over.
In Marquette Park?
Right by Marquette Park off of 71st Street where they had all the Lithuanian restaurants and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Well, they were all starting to get robbed, the restaurants and the stores.
Yeah.
And we zeroed in on the...
Who it was.
Yeah, who it was. And it was one guy there from the area. And
he was a local guy, Robin.
Well, he moved. I don't know when his family moved in there, but his brother was bad news. He was bad news. And at one point, his brother was shooting out his girlfriend's windows or something in their house. And my partner, Maureen Griffin, who I wish I could get on here. She's awesome.
That'd be great, yeah.
Maureen Griffin. Her father was a commander, Jim Delaney.
Yeah.
But so Maureen and I, we chased the offender into this house and... we searched everywhere for the gun, and you know that turned out to be funny. I can't even tell you why it was funny. I just can't. There's some things I can't tell you why it was funny. But some of the stuff we found in the house.
In his house? Yeah.
Yeah, we just laughed about it. They were sexual toys and
Wow.
Whatever. But and we ended up getting a complaint. They alleged that we stole massive amounts of money, and we're like, okay, right. But
yeah.
But that's not unusual either. I mean, police officers have complaints left and right. But anyway, right before I was leaving, some other police officers had these guys stopped on a car. And so you always stop to back up and see if you need help.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, Kath, this guy says that he'll tell you where they pitched the stuff. He wants to talk to you. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So it was not the brother that we chased in, the one who was doing the robberies. So I had already locked up twice for robbery.
You recognized him.
Oh, I knew. He knew me. I knew him.
Yeah.
So first name was Raphael. I said, Raphael, what's up? What are you going to tell me? And he goes, I don't have anything to tell you. It's just I heard you were leaving the district, and I thought maybe we could get together sometime.
He asked you out on a date.
I'm like, get out of here. I mean, so then...
That's pretty funny.
It wasn't at the time. I was embarrassed, but I wasn't pissed off.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny, but it was at the same time. I was like, guys, he is not telling me where anything is.
Yeah.
It's not what he wanted. So that was funny. I had a ton of fun with Maureen Griffin in the 8th District. A ton of fun. I mean,
were you guys in the same car? Or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, not in the beginning.
Partners?
Yeah, we were partners.
Yeah.
I had other partners, crazy partners. I worked midnights for a while, and I had a crazy partner, Dave Sneathan. He's a retired guy now. He was a lot of fun. I just had a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
But now for other funny things, my partner on the shooting team was Pete Muni. He's from the Southeast Side. He grew up out there. He grew up actually on like 84th and Yates. And,
okay. Southeast Side.
Southeast Side.
Yeah.
And he and I one time, we were at a shooting scene, turned into a homicide, so we were part of the homicide investigation. And you start sending teams out. You go do this, you go do that, you go do that. And we were to go sit with the homicide victim until the crime lab could come and process the body.
Yeah.
It was a busy night. There were shootings, there were bodies piling up. I mean, it was a really, really busy night. So we were down at Northwestern
Hospital.
Northwestern Hospital, and we're with the body.
Yeah.
Guarding the body until the crime lab comes. And they're taking forever.
Yeah.
So it's a busy night. I mean, it's not unusual. And the hospital staff comes up and says, we need these rooms. You know, we got people in the hallways. This guy's dead. Can we take him down to our morgue? And we're like, well, as long as we're with the body, you can take him down to the morgue. So they put him in their morgue, and we're sitting right outside the door of the morgue. And we're sitting in like a little sitting area, probably where they console families or whatever they do.
Yeah.
And we were there for hours.
Yeah.
Hours waiting for the crime lab. Well, you know, Pete's dozing off. I mean, we're taking turns dozing off. We're just sitting there. And I hear the crime lab coming. I could hear him down the hallway. So I said, Pete, I hear them. He was dozing off. He jumps up. He goes, you hear who? I go, listen, I hear voices. He goes, you better not be hearing voices. Because we were in the morgue.
Yeah.
He goes, you better not be hearing voices. I mean, that was one of those things he had to be there. But yeah. To this day, when I think about that, I laugh. Because if you could see his face.
Oh, yeah.
That was hysterical.
That's a real Abbott and Costello type moment.
Oh, it was hysterical. Because you better not be hearing voices. So that was a funny situation. But, you know, there's so many funny things that have happened, but there's a lot of sad things.
Yeah.
A lot of things that, you know, my friends who aren't in this field would never, 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 you know, they wouldn't understand. Sometimes I think people think we're lying if you talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things.
One of the reasons we do this show is because of the culture, the anti-police culture that's kind of taken over this country, and it's despicable. And it's a tough time to be a cop. What's your take on all of that? Defund the police and all
that
stuff?
You know, it's just really, really sad.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, there's sometimes it actually chokes me up that how sad it is, because the fact that anybody thinks that we wake up, we police officers wake up in the morning hoping to kill somebody or hurt somebody.
You just want to get through the day.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And now you hear the latest. Today they're saying that even justified shootings, now the Civilian Police Board wants the officers fired. Justified shootings.
That makes no sense. Yeah.
How could that even come to be?
Yeah.
I mean, a justified shooting.
Wasn't Lori Lightfoot on the police board, civilian police board, or something like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got her hands in there. Do you ever get back to Ireland?
I have been to Ireland. I was there, let's see, I brought my mother. My mom's 89, so 9 years ago.
Is she still alive?
My mom's still alive, but my mom's not Irish.
Oh, okay.
But she was married to an Irishman her whole life.
She was married
for many years.
What was your dad's name again?
Marty Keane.
Marty Keane, yeah.
Marty Keane.
Yeah.
They called him Marty Keane. Everybody called him Marty. He even would sign cards to my mother, Marty. And that's because of the brogue. That's how it sounds when you say Marty in Ireland.
Yeah.
And so I took my mom and we met family.
What year was that? Do you remember?
Well, if it was 9 years ago.
2001.
Yeah. It had been after.
2011.
Oh, it was before.
2011.
Yeah.
9 years ago.
I'm
not good
you.
At math. I went to Carmel.
Well, I am good at math, and I just went along with it.
2011, and 9 is 2020. Yeah. Oh, that's so. It's just you and your mom went.
And my boyfriend.
Oh, cool.
Who was a retired policeman.
Yeah. Is he Irish?
He is.
Oh, so where'd you? Oh, you were in Galway, I think you were telling.
Well, we actually did the entire tour. We landed in Dublin, stayed in Dublin, went to Waterford, went to Kilkenny, went to Killarney.
Oh,
went to a wedding. Is why we went originally.
Oh yeah.
We had a wedding.
A friend of yours got married.
Yeah, a friend of our son.
Oh, cool.
Got married at the Adair Manor in Limerick.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's funny. The bride and groom were not Irish.
The
bride was of Indian descent.
Huh.
Her father's a neurologist, an Indian neurologist, and the groom was German.
Yeah.
But they wanted a destination wedding, and what's more beautiful
than Ireland?
Ireland.
Yeah.
So they had it there and planned a two-week trip around it.
There's a joke there about an Indian neurologist, but or maybe that's urologist. Sorry.
We don't want to go there.
Okay. Any final stories you want to tell us? We're
funny
talking with Kathleen Keane Chigaris.
Funny or sad?
It's up to you. 26 years on the force. Just starting a new company in threat management.
Emergency
response management.
Yep. The funny stories are, some of them, you know, you got to be careful.
Oh, your daughter's a police officer.
My daughter's a state trooper.
Oh,
she is an investigator, which is a detective.
Yeah.
And she just recently went from investigations into narcotics.
Oh, wow.
So she's doing like multi-state narcotic.
And she's been a cop for about 7 years, something like that. Yeah.
I think it's been about 7 years.
Yeah.
And her husband is a lieutenant for the local sheriff's department out where she lives.
Oh, Lee County, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Good for her. Yeah. So she must have, she watched you and said, you know what? That's, I think that's what I want to do. Yeah.
I think they thought it looked cool. They didn't realize.
Yeah, it does look cool.
Yeah. It looks cool from the outside, and sometimes it is cool. Sometimes it's cool. I have to tell you, I spent 10 years working in the banking industry before I was in pharmacy school.
Yeah.
And even when I was in pharmacy school, I thought, you know what, I could never be boxed in a pharmacy. I would have to do research, which is what I was planning on doing, research.
Yeah.
Research or sales. I just could never be boxed in.
Yeah.
And to tell you the God's honest truth, especially when I made detective, some of the smartest human beings I've ever met in my life are in the detective division.
Oh yeah, that's terrific.
And I graduated from University of Chicago. I was in pharmacy school at the Chicago College of Osteopathic Medicine. But when I made detective, there is no doubt some of the most intelligent people I've ever met in the detective division.
Thank God.
No, but they are. It's amazing. Yeah. And not boxed in. You could pretty much. I'm a math and science brain.
Yeah.
And being a detective is kind of like figuring out puzzles. So it's kind of like the same. And I just love not being boxed in. And even now with my new business, you know, we're going to be in the field.
Sure.
The majority of it's going to be in the field.
Yeah. And what about your son? Oh, he's a local 134.
He's local 134. Yeah. He's very off the charts smart guy. He does trading. He does personal trading with that crypto market and
Bitcoin.
He is more into. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
He tells me all the time, and
what's
tries to explain.
Oh, his name's Gary too.
Gary. Hey. He tries to tell me all the time, but he's more into something called God, I'm gonna get it wrong. Altheria or something.
Ethereum. I don't even know.
So you get it, huh?
That's Billy Wooten, our producer. He's obviously got a lot of money in Ethereum.
Well, supposedly that it's done really, really well.
Well, he's got a good job, though. Local one.
He does have a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
He does have a good job. I think he wants to see if he could venture into something
else.
How
old is he?
He's 32.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He wants to see if he could venture into something else, something that he would enjoy more. And he's a veteran. He was in the Navy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And when he got out of the Navy, he took every test.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And he actually got called for the police department, did the power test and everything, and that was at the time when they were not hiring any police kids or military. Then they ended up with a big lawsuit on it.
They should have had a lawsuit.
And they had him all the way to the very end, and then sent him an email and saying that he didn't qualify. Like, he did the power test, he passed everything.
Yeah.
And he said, Mom, they called and asked if I wanted to get in this lawsuit. Should I do it? He said, it's $2,500 up front. And then
you got to pay?
To get in the lawsuit at the time. It was $2,500 up front and then a third of the first year's salary.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know, how bad do you want to be a cop? He goes, you made me take the test. You told me to take the test. And I said, well, if you really want to be a cop, let's go for it. I said, if not, then figure out what else you want to do and don't worry about it. We'll see what happens with the current lawsuit. Uh-huh. So he ended up taking the electrician's test and he got called for the first class for that. And he went through with that, and he's a smart kid. He really enjoyed it. Some aspects of it he really enjoys. But I think he feels stifled.
Yeah.
Because he's so smart. But, you know, he'll figure it out. Sure we all land on our feet.
Yeah. You got a great attitude.
We all land on our feet, right? So he'll figure it out. I told him, I said, just maintain your union card.
Ah, yeah. Good
so
advice.
So that if you ever have mouths to feed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have a means. Right now, the electricians make great money. You have no problem feeding
them. You raised two kids on your own. God bless you. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You're a warrior, Kathleen. All right, so thanks for being on the show. Any final statement you want to make?
No.
Okay. Been great visiting with you. Stay safe while you're out there. And thanks so much. We salute you. We honor our police. We're very proud of you. And God bless you, Kathleen Keene Chigaris. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages from our friends on Hibernian Radio.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table. Enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Thanks for listening, folks. Hey, you know what? I want to remind everybody. Coming up Sunday, December 27th, right here at the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, we're celebrating our third annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball. Celebrating music, films, culture, all Hibernian media stuff. We're going to have Jimmy Clunan and friends. We're going to have Liam Durkin and Larkin and Moran Brothers, Lexia Kennedy, Tyke Spillane and friends. He's a terrific Irish dancer. We're raffling off some Paddy's Irish Whiskey all afternoon, Sunday, December 27th from 3 to 7, here, right here, at the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 South Western Avenue. So we'd love to have you join us. Also, we're in the midst of an Indiegogo fundraiser right now, so if you want to go to Hibernian Radio First Responders Pub Tour, go to Indiegogo and put that in there, and it'll take you in and make a drop, will you? We need some help. Also, our old friend Chubbs Pulfos. Is that how you say it? Chubbs. Anyway, Chubbs. Everybody knows him as Chubbs. He's the bartender at McGaffer's. You know, every year he does this Christmas with a Cause party. God bless him. It's been going on for years, 25 years, I think, to help the kids. But, of course, they can't do it this year because of COVID, but they're still going to have the drop off the toys for the kids or checks for the charities, the Shriners Hospital for Children, Heinz Hospital, Heinz Fisher House, Loyola Burn Unit for Children, Ronald McDonald House at Heinz, Ambrose Foundation, Suicide Prevention, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, Riverside Brookfield High School Best Buddies, Forest Park Community Center for Seniors, Hinsdale Humane Society, and the Kiwanis of Forest Park. Help them out. You can drop any of this stuff off at O'Sullivan's Public House on Madison, Brighton Clean Cleaners on Madison, Tipster's Village Pub, one of my favorite spots, 8839 Cermak in North Riverside, or the American Legion Post 414 in Forest Park. If you have toys for the kids, drop them off, because, you know, what's Christmas without kids, right? And we salute our pal, Rich Chubbs Pulfos. And you'll be hearing more about this. The fundraising is between December 3rd to December 20th. Give him a hand, okay? Okay, now, Billy, You know, when I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's or Ronk's or Hearts or any of those great Irish taverns, and see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Maisie Cunningham, Mary Maisie Cunningham, age 91, a native of County Galway, Ireland, beloved wife of the late James Cunningham, devoted mother of the late John, James, Kevin, Mary Gallagher, and the late Joni Kaywood, proud grandmother of Clara, Kaylee, Patrick, and John, and a loving daughter of the late John and Bridget Ryan. God rest her soul, Maisie Cunningham, 91. Also Mary J. Sheehan, 77, of Chicago, beloved wife of little Francis, loving mother of Barry and Brian, dear sister to John, cherished cousin to Tommy Johnson, and many others in Ireland. She is a wonderful aunt and friend to many. God rest her soul, Mary J. Sheehan. And finally, James Anthony Garrity, the great Jim Garrity. Jim was 93. His parents were immigrants from County Mayo and County Carlow. He attended St. Angela's and St. Ignatius and lettered in varsity and track and field each year. He got his law degree at Loyola. He married Gwendolyn Ann Smith. And together they raised five children residing in Oak Park and Glen Ellen. He practiced law for over 50 years. At Ignatius, he got the Alumni Award for Excellence in 2019. Just quite a raconteur of poems and songs flowed from him in a seemingly endless stream, each touched with a personal kindness or memory. He was in his element when crafting witty skits for the yearly Judges' Night Show and holding court at family holiday parties. Jim was a man of devout faith, attending daily mass for decades and serving as an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist. He left behind his beloved daughter, his late daughter Ellen. Jim is survived by his loving wife, Anne, his children, Marita, James, Patrick, and Gwen, who is married to my cousin, Sean Houlihan, a terrific lawyer in his own right, Sean Houlihan. I talked to him on the phone today. Sean is, if you're looking for a personal injury guy, get a hold of Sean Houlihan. And only Sean Houlihan. And tell him Hooli sent you. So also, did I tell you Maisie Cunningham was waked at Sheehy's, where other eight people go? Okay, Billy. Now we're going to take a little trip to a place I like to call Hooli Town.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All
deep.
The way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? Teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium? Right.
And wormed around his frontal lobes that took him to a state of mind.
Mind, yes. Mind, mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome,
crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooli Town.
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hooli Town. This is especially for Jeff Lang and Bailey the Beagle. And his mother-in-law, or his mother, Alice. They're big fans of Hooli Town. All right, Billy, would you please give me a hand with this door? Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it! Khloe Kardashian and more celebrities, they open up about freezing their eggs.
Who cares?
Bachelorette alum Ryan Sutter speaks out after outpouring of support amid his mystery illness. I'll be fine.
Who cares?
Bachelorette alum Ryan Sutter speaks out after outpouring of support amid his mystery illness. I'll be fine.
Who cares?
Queen Elizabeth II's staffer admits to selling stolen Buckingham Palace items online, including her dirty knickers.
Who cares?
Pregnant Mandy Moore is utterly shattered over the death of her dog, Joni.
Who cares?
And finally, Ellen Page comes out as transgender, now as Elliot Page. Her wife is very pleased.
Who cares?
Close it up. Push up, 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 push up. Oh, wait, Billy, Billy, let me climb up there and get that latch at the top of the door again. Get it. Oh, okay. So great to be back in Hooleytown. Hey, we're here at Cork and Kerry. We got a big shout out to Billy Guidy at Cork and Kerry. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be visited by the great Jimmy Clunan and his brother Coleman. They're going to do some B-flat reels for us. Hope to see you all Sunday, December 27th, at the third annual Hibernian Hooligan Ball. Check out our Indiegogo page for the Hibernian Radio Tour. You'll find it. And so we'll take a little break. We'll be right back at these messages with the Clunan brothers. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's pizza.
Thank you. the glen came McElpine's men with their shovels slung behind them. 'Twas in the pubs that they drank their sup, and up in the spike you will find them. Oh, they sweated blood and they washed down mud with pints and quarts of beer. And now we're on the road once again with McElpine's Fusilier. I stripped to the skin with your Jockey Flynn way down upon the Isle of Grain. With the horse face tool, 'cause I knew the rule, no money if you stop for rain. Oh, McElpine's God was a well-filled hod, your shoulders cut to bits and sear. And woe to he who went to look for tea with McElpine's Fusilier. The rich call prayers. Oh, I'm a navy short, and my one retort that reached unto my ears. When the going gets rough, oh, you must be tough with McElpine's Fusiliers. I've worked till the sweat hasn't bet me yet with Dell's Russian checks and the shuddering jams beneath the hydro dams and underneath the Thames in a hole. Oh, I grabbed it hard and I've got me cards of many a gangster's fits across me ears. If you pride your life, don't join by Christ with McElpine's